I chose our scripture text today before the events of this week. It is a healing story from the Gospel of John. And I realized in listening to it this week that healing of people, of communities, of institutions and governments requires change. Sometimes revolutionary change. And established institutions and those of us who work within them, which is almost all of us, rarely receive the invitation to change with open arms. So the Spirit of God invites us into healing change today as we hear this story of Jesus healing a man long ill from the Gospel of John. There was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda, which has become in our times Bethesda. Now, it had five covered porches and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. The tradition around this pool was that an angel of God would come and stir up the water from time to time. And if a person could be first into the pool while the water was stirred up, then that person would be healed. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it is stirred up. When I'm trying to get to it, someone else has gotten in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man was well, and he picked up his mat and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath day. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Do you want to get well? To be healed? What kind of question is that to ask someone who has been lying by this healing pool, probably always a beggar begging for his living for 38 years? It almost seems cruel, doesn't it? Well, of course he would want to be healed. But then the man's answer is, well, it's a bit tentative. It almost seems to be an excuse for why he is not well rather than a statement of longing to be well. Might make us ask, does he really want to be well? Why hasn't he been able to rally the help to get into the healing pool? And there's lots of answers to that question. He's too physically weak. He doesn't have friends to help. He's used to how he's living and might not really believe in the healing of the pool after all this time. He doesn't see a way out of his poverty other than begging. And of course, then we, in our 21st century cynicism, ask, and if he did get into the pool, would it really heal him? Many questions arise about illness and wellness, about healing and help and wholeness. From this, at first seemingly simple, Jesus does another miracle story. A few anthropological facts about the first century Mediterranean understanding of illness and wellness. Quoting from the Social Science Commentary on the Gospel of John, The main problem with sickness in the time of Jesus is the experience of the sick person being dislodged from his or her social moorings and social standing. Social interaction with family members, friends, neighbors, and village mates comes to a halt. Ooh, we've almost experienced that, haven't we, in the midst of COVID? To be healed, to continue quoting, to be healed is to be restored to one's social network. In the ancient Mediterranean world, one's state of being was more important than one's ability to act or function. Thus, the healers of that world focused on restoring a person to a valued state of being rather than to an ability to function. The healing miracle went beyond the physical ailment in this story. Jesus brought the man out of a state of isolation, living as an unhealed beggar at the edge of a healing pool, and gave him a chance to re-enter community. Jesus gives him the opportunity to be healed from separateness, which in the New Testament is often the definition of sin, not some moral failing, but the state of being separated or of separating ourselves from the holy within us and within the community of God. Jesus asked the man in this story, "Do you want to get well, to be healed?" And he answers, perhaps like some of us might answer, out of a sense of guilt. "Well, it's not really my fault that I'm not healed. This stopped me from getting healed, and this stopped me, and I couldn't do it because of this." Yet implicit in the evasive answers is hopefully a tentative yes, as well as the fear of what change healing might bring. Do you want to be healed? Do I want to be healed? Do we want to be healed as a faith community, as a local community, as a nation? I know that sometimes we hear these gospel healing stories. I realize that this is the way I was hearing them, and they seem like a fairy tale. It seems like Jesus says, "Poof, you are well. Everything is sunshine and lollipops now." But Jesus never says that, because Jesus knows that healing involves the pain of change. Jesus says empowering things like, "Go, your faith has made you well," or "Take up your mat and walk," or "You are forgiven." When we have an owie, a cut on our hand, or a scrape on our shin, or a sprained muscle, or an arthritic joint, or, God forbid, a cancer diagnosis, we probably all say, "Yes, I want to be healed. We want to function fully in the world again." But the journey is never without some pain. Healing always hurts in some way. But not healing, staying ill or wounded, it hurts a lot worse. The man by the pool at Bethsaida was given new life in the healing words of Jesus, and as a part of being healed, he had to take responsibility for himself, pick up his own mat, set off on the daunting journey of re-entering community. After 38 years, he had to stretch new muscles emotionally, intellectually, and physically. He had to face religious authorities and be proclaimed ritually clean if he wanted to re-enter worship life in the temple. And in doing so, we learn in the next few verses after this story that he had to explain who healed him and face a scolding for carrying his mat on the Sabbath. Yeah. Our establishment institutions never make healing easy. The man had to find his family, if they were still around, learn how to work again, make a living, find somewhere to live. It's a wonderful miracle that Jesus restored his physical wholeness, giving him back an entry into community. And yet there was a journey with some discomfort ahead. And he was not a young man. So I ask again, do you want to be healed? Do I? Do we? Does our world? Starting with ourselves, because it's really the only true change is that we can completely affect. We can only make change in ourselves. Are there parts of your life that need healing? Are you willing to take the healing journey, even knowing there is discomfort, some growing pains ahead? Just take a moment and let that sink in. The Holy Healing Spirit of God has brought us as a church community thus far through these last two very difficult years of pandemic. We have had setbacks. Here we all are wearing masks again. But we have been blessed in many, many ways. We have not thus far lost members to death from COVID. Thanks be to God. We have maintained worship and as much programming as possible. We may have had staff leave, yes, for a variety of reasons, but we have also had wonderful interim staff come to be with us, and we have hired new staff to help us rebuild in new and creative ways. Just as an aside, staff camaraderie is better at Plymouth than it has ever been in my almost 8 years here. And yet I still want to say to us as a faith community, do we want to be healed? Do we want to do the vital work, the vital healing work of rebuilding our programming, particularly in Christian formation for all ages? Do we want to get back to serving again through mission and outreach in our wider community? Do we want to learn anew the joy of giving our financial resources to build the church that God is calling us to be? Sometimes I'm not sure that we do. We are all really tired and worn down by the trauma of the last 2 years. We have experienced a lot of pain and sorrow, and then we add to it what is happening in our world. Perhaps it feels easier to just sit by the pool doing what we know, not taking the risk to make a move toward the healing we want, because we know that deep down, God's healing will bring change. And that can cause us pain and grief, along with joy. My friends, Plymouth is never going to be like it was on March 8th, 2020, the last Sunday that we met together before lockdown. And that hurts, I know. And we need to grieve and mourn openly. However, if we answer the call of Jesus, "Do you want to get well?" with a yes, we will bring forward so much of our wonderful heritage in new forms, and we will welcome new creativity in the process. New folks will join and already are joining us. Yes, some of our church members have chosen in the midst of the pandemic to find other faith communities. Yes, we will no longer have a dedicated staff director of adult Christian formation. Yes, we will soon have only 2 full-time ministers, only. Some churches don't even get that. We will have 2 full-time ministers instead of 2.5 ministers, the half being the part-time. Yes, we will need to dig deep and discover how we can give more of our financial resources to support new strategic plan visions. And yes, these are hard realities, and they invite healing change. We can take this journey because we will be on it together with the Holy Healing Spirit of God. We are not alone. We can be made whole in ways that we never thought possible. Will we take up our mats and walk? The healing must begin inside each of us. We each have to say yes to the healing of God, deliver our hurts and fears into God's hands, surrender them and trust. We each need to do this on a personal level. We can't just point fingers at a system or a staff of any institution, gossip about it, and say, "Well, this needs to change so that I can feel more comfortable." It's up to each of us to take on the joyous and uncomfortable journey of healing so that as a whole faith community, we can be healed. And as people called to the love and justice of Jesus, willing to make this healing journey, we can and will be leaders in the healing of our country's culture of fear and violence. Now, I noticed this week that I would like to sit back and point fingers at those who oppose the gun safety laws that I believe, and many of you believe, desperately need to be enacted to stop the killing in our country. It makes me feel better to point fingers and say, if only they would change. But pointing fingers doesn't help us become a safer nation. We are called, my friends, to some very hard healing work that must be done in very difficult conversations with greater compassion and understanding than we think we can ever muster for our gun safety laws to change. We are called to a depth of prayer we never knew existed. And we know that changing the laws is the tip of the iceberg in healing the soul of our nation that is so divided. So I must ask myself and ask you to ask yourselves, what are we willing to change with God's healing help inside of each of us? What attitudes am I willing to ask God to heal? Are you willing? What risks are we willing to take that we never dreamed of to be the change for justice and love that we want to see? To bring the realm of God more fully here in Northern Colorado, we must each ask ourselves these hard questions for the sake of the growth of our own souls, the soul and mission of our church, and the soul of our country. Do we want to get well? Do we want to be healed? How will we allow the Spirit of God to change, to heal each of us, and thus the whole of us? Amen and amen.